This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Welcome to the Toy Foundation Art Space in Conversation series, where we showcase our emerging Taranaki artist on display in our studios this month. You'll find the exhibition on the ground level at the Top Town Cinema Complex. Let's catch up with them now. Welcome back to Art Space in Conversation at Access Radio Taranaki. My name is Taryn, and today we are talking with Tony Rumball, who is a member of The Painters. The Painters have our exhibition space for February, and you should come in and see it because the artworks here are extraordinary. They're so different. There's lots of different styles, lots of different vision, and lots of everyday moments that have been captured. So today we're going to talk to Tony about the exhibition, about the group The Painters, and about his life as an artist. Welcome, Tony.
Good morning, Taryn.
It's lovely to have you in the studio. How are you today?
Fine.
That's good. So tell us about the exhibition here at Access Radio Taranaki that people can come and see.
As you just said, the works are varied. This is one of the strengths of the group. Fairly independent, mostly old people who give things a go, and it shows in the group of paintings that you've got up in your office. In that case, they weren't painting, all looking at the same still life or something, but in cases where we do paint the still life, you could hardly recognise a common theme in a lot of things. So independent approach, which involves both their materials and their thinking about what's in front of them and their preference for colours and materials and things, which can alter.
Yes, which is why we've got such a lovely variety of artwork out there, isn't it?
Yep.
Now, this comes from a group of people who have been meeting for more than 40 years. Is that correct?
It is. It's a bit like getting a new handle for an axe and a new blade for an axe. But painters began about 50 years ago in Stratford.
Wow.
As an outlie tutoring from Taranaki Polytech, and primarily Tom Chrysler was tutoring, and he's well known around Taranaki and the whole country. There are a few survivors from those early years. I've been personally about 41 years with the group, but Christine Smith has predated me, so it gathered pace, though. After about 48 years, we left Stratford because most of us had moved away from the Stratford district or retired, and our jobs in and near Stratford had finished, and recently took up at the Hillsborough Hall on Egmont Road.
Oh, lovely.
Which is a marvellous venue.
Yes.
And since that time, our numbers in Stratford, where we were... Oh, I should point out that 20 years into this 50 years, Tom Chrysler retired from the Polytech, and we decided to go it alone. We're just known as painters. There's nothing flash or anything about it. It's just a group of friends who meet with a common interest. But it has persisted for another 30 years, virtually weekly, apart from perhaps 5 or 6 weeks off around Christmas, for
That's
all that
amazing.
Time.
That's so phenomenal. I think it's such an inspiring story for a group of friends with a shared interest to meet every week for 50 years. I can't believe it. Like, it's wonderful. Well,
as I say, new axe handle and
yes.
et cetera. Because to begin with, many of us had jobs.
Mm.
Teach, teachers and business people and farmers. And
yes.
It was a bit of a rush in and a rush out, but most have retired now. The thing that probably kept us together was an appreciation of Tom Chrysler's approach.
Yes.
To a group like that. While he was there, we were instructed to, in a sense, we were instructed in his very amusing but effective manner. Since then, we haven't been instructed, you know, but it's a philosophy of, due to him, of enjoying yourself and being experimental with art.
Mm.
Hence the whole range of materials that people use and the quite weird objects brought for us to watch in still lives and think displays and things like that and ideas, or due to the ability to find art online, we can look up and see something interesting. You know, when you've got, there's now about 25 people who come to Hillsborough Hall. At Stratford we had lower numbers, but with that number of people keeping an eye on art and looking up art and knowing about art, it's gathered momentum, if anything.
That's amazing.
It's helpful for art too.
Yeah, it would be. And so, as I understand it, people bring objects, is that right? And sometimes you paint these objects in different styles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's called a still life. You know, we set up a table or two, and usually there is a theme.
Yeah.
We might say, bring things that are greenish.
Ah.
And all manner of stuff will come. If you're asking for green things, you'd say, you don't want a whole lot of plants or anything. We want perhaps some plants, but green objects.
Yeah.
And people with that number come up with all sorts of interesting stuff. You know, it could be the green colour of verdigris on something metal, or can be green crockery, or it can whatever.
Gosh, that's wonderful.
It's a good approach, because if you keep it fairly vague, people don't feel constrained, I think, about what to bring. And sometimes the table's overloaded. Another time we might say, well, one of my favourites, which most of them hate, I think, is about once a year I ask them to nominate, everyone separately, one of their favourite paintings, and insert themselves into the style of that painting, whether it's a Van Gogh or something like that, or put part of themselves in. It's a fairly painless way of encouraging people to do self-portraits, because they're thinking about trying to paint in the style of Chagall or whoever. And they're not worried so much about, how do I look?
That's really cool. Now, you've got a painting inspired by your overseas travels of you as a lifeguard in a painting, don't you? Can you tell us about that?
That's one of them.
Yeah.
That's by David Hockney. It's called A Pool with Two Figures or something. I can't remember the title.
Yeah.
And it's one of his, set in a Californian landscape with a swimmer and a guy dressed up in a jacket at the end of the pool, sort of looking down at him. And a typical American, beautiful swimming pool, private swimming pool with hills in the background.
Wow.
This was one of those examples that I thought, I've always liked his paintings, most of his paintings. Thought, I've got to put myself in as a lifeguard, dressed in Taranaki life-saving surf colours and with a flag fluttering.
Oh, I love it. That's incredible. And other people have found this style to be something they can get joy out of as well?
At the end they do. There's a lot of moaning to begin with. But less here. It's something I try and waggle about once a year.
That's really cool. Wonderful memories to look back on as well every year. You can look back and see, these are the ones we've done over the years and this is what they've produced. And painting in someone else's style as well, you'll be able to take little snippets and things from that for yourself, for your future art endeavours.
It is an extremely good pictorial record.
Yeah.
Yes. You look back at your old paintings, you sort of know where you were and your style and colours you were keen on at the time, because I think a lot of artists change with respect to preferred colours. Perhaps they're changing from oil to acrylic or something.
Mm.
New colour comes up. It's all part of the enjoyment, I think, of being creative, and it's often a pleasurable sort of little interval in busy lives and so on.
Let's talk for a while about the friendships that have developed over 50 years.
You get friendly with everybody.
I
suppose you get to meet a lot of new people, especially if you're a farmer.
Yes, and you were a farmer, weren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, I grew up on farms as well, so I understand what it's like when you're a little bit kind of, you know, removed and involved in the daily activities of farm life.
And you're right.
Yeah. So to go to something like this every week and have that moment of connection and a place where you can do something that is good for your soul, that's huge.
Mm. I didn't ever go in the spring during calving. But,
yes,
Yeah, you're tearing, you know, you finish milking and tearing and paint, and tear back and, you know, catch up, milking and so on. And
that's amazing.
Try and put your oil painting somewhere where the kids aren't going to spread. Spread paint all over the place until which is tricky.
Yeah.
Oil paints.
Paints, in particular with children.
Yep.
I've had to kind of step back in my life a little bit over the last few years and say, what am I not making time for that I really do need to be making a little bit of time for myself, for my mind, for my creativity?
Yep.
And I've found a much better, I think, sense of balance since I gave myself that luxury of being able to do something creative every week.
And another good thing about, if you're talking about art, is you can get a tablet with a pencil.
Yes, I've seen that.
As Hockney has demonstrated, you can have a lot of fun with that, and there's no mess, and it can be all in a little area, and you can print off your work if you want to, and so.
Isn't the technology, eh?
Yeah, it's beaut. It's really good the way the internet is, I think, has helped art for people who aren't able to go to galleries much and so.
Well, that's the thing. It's about accessibility, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like you're able to access resources that tell you about art history, that talk to you about the style of different painters, and that show you these things as well.
Yep.
So you're not so reliant on just learning from someone who may have expertise.
Or reading books, yes. I mean, you can look at what's on in Tate Modern and,
oh my gosh,
you know, you get access to so many ideas.
And because they have virtual tours as well on, gosh, that's phenomenal.
Very helpful, all those art things and written commentaries. And
yes, phenomenal. Now, speaking of galleries overseas, you've done quite a bit of travel in your time, haven't you?
Once I retired, my wife was a very good traveller, and we thoroughly enjoyed sort of backpacking type trips. Yeah.
And you'd always come back with a sketchbook filled with ideas.
I always took a little wee, probably about an A6 type sturdy little notebook, and drew with pencil, mostly.
That's amazing. What a wonderful collection to look back on.
It is, and in a way, compared to my wife Pam, I have a lot better memories. She didn't take photos much, but for people that take photos, I think the memories are far less clear than somebody who spends a few minutes drawing things. And I used to do a lot of that. And you can still remember what steps you were sitting on and, you know, what was in front of you. It's a very good little prompt for memory and sketches that you can use in your paintings, and if you want to, later on.
That's so cool. No, you're right, though, but you are literally etching it into your memory.
You do, because it takes several minutes to do it. And often it's people, so, you know, you've got a memory. I really enjoyed, you know, how you wait a long time at train stations yes. and so on, and you see family groups, and we were waiting in Barcelona once, and four sons, about probably in their late 20s, 30s, standing around mum, who was haranguing them in a way, all smoking. And I thoroughly enjoyed drawing them. And there was another very funny one in Norfolk where there was a very old church, small church, Ranworth, I think, famous church for its screen. And the vicar came up on a bike and she was just like Dawn French.
Oh wow.
And the plinth where she had to christen the baby had two or three steps on it, and Dawn, or the vicar, poured some warm water out of a hottie into the whatever it is, the font or whatever it is where you christen a baby, which was quite impressive. But the baby concerned was a fairly newborn, and all the uncles and dads and that were dressed in black and white and so on, and slick back black hair and so on. And the father of the child was very loath to sort of hand over the child to the vicar, who was tottering on the steps. And no, it all ended up happily.
Yeah, but
I was busily sketching all that. I loved that scene, you know. And it was small church and funny.
Oh, how
funny,
beautiful.
So we called him Alfie Paul, but I don't know what his name
You don't know what his actual name
real
was?
Real name.
Oh, that's lovely.
The christening of Alfie Paul. So I ended up doing a lot of paintings on that theme.
That's wonderful.
And another one in London with all the beautiful large stone buildings side by side, you'd see a uniformed guard in a red tunic with a big busby or whatever they're called. Just a few feet away would be a beggar with a large dog and so on. So I did a lot of paintings on which I call pomp and circumstance.
That's good.
That sort of theme, because you got a red tunic and that honey-coloured stone in behind.
Yeah.
And a ragged-looking beggar with big dog and so on. And so the colours were terrific, and the shapes and the pathos of the...
And the juxtaposition of those
pomp
two.
Pomp and circumstance.
Oh, that's a phenomenal title. That's really good. Oh, I can see you've had a lot of fun.
I had a lot of fun, Tara. Yeah.
That's really cool to think that, you know, creativity and the way that a person views the world is so important. And I feel like we live in a world often where that is some of the first things that drop off the busy schedule, but they're actually the most important. They are. They're the things that keep us human and give us joy and allow us to see the world in different ways and see it from another person's perspective or have realizations about human nature. I bet your house is filled with all of your wonderful art.
Well, not about wonderful. The house has a lot hanging up, but it's handy to hang them up to dry them. And we've got beige walls, so that helps.
Yes. Yeah, I know that feeling. I love to hang as much colourful art in my house as I possibly can to cover up the white walls.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Yep.
And so who are some of the other painters who are in this exhibition at Access Radio?
Well, the fair way to approach that would be the long-timers.
Yes.
Christine Smith, I mentioned, who's been on a Douglas farm for most of her life. She, Greta Hansen, who also has been on a farm for most of her life. These are people who are still with the group. We've got a lot of people that have died who were important in the art scene in Taranaki.
It's always the way, isn't it?
Well, it is. Yes. Yes, it's, you know, at that age, a lot of age. We've had the odd 90-year-old who comes along, or Robin Sinclair, you probably
hear. Wow, yes.
I'm just reading your book out there about the making of Brooklyn's Bobby.
Yeah.
Robin was still coming in his 90s, through from New Plymouth.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. My great-grandmother was my favourite person in the world, and she lasted until 93 and a half. I can still remember her doing her hobbies in her 90s. It was...
Yeah. Oh, it's beaut.
Yeah, it is.
Hillsborough Hall, easy to get into. Our Stratford, we used places like the Skinner Road Hall at the showgrounds and the Polytech, the high school, I mean, while Tom was still there, the old prestige building in Stratford. Pioneer Village in what is now the cafe.
Oh, lovely.
So we've moved around Stratford.
So you grew up in Stratford or South Taranaki?
First 10 years in Stratford area, Douglas, and then New Plymouth, and then, schooling here.
Yep.
Boys High.
Boys High, yep. And then where did you farm?
It was on Rutland Road. It's called Waipuku, the district, which is where the big concrete Doughty tanks, water tanks, are on the main road to Stratford, just up the mountain from there.
Yeah. Wow. That's quite different to you think of someone painting, eh? On this beautiful landscape of rugged farmland and then delicate... Beautiful paintings.
Yeah, the mountain, of course, was just up the top of the road. It was very pretty sights of the mountain. But as far as farming goes, I was probably more interested in painting the animals, I think. Cows and dogs.
So there's a lot of cows and dogs and mountains in your work?
There's a heck of a lot of cows and dogs. The mountain I often treat just incidentally. I'm useless at trying to paint a pretty mountain.
You like, from what I can gather, interactions, whether that be between humans or animals.
Very much.
Yeah.
Yes. To express them as in a painting. I think Peter Lambert does that very well.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I agree. I agree. Lucky to have a Peter Lambert at home. It's my favourite. Very nice to... actually, we're very blessed to have wonderful artists in Taranaki and in New Zealand who do beautiful work.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it is, eh? It is. So when you were younger, when did you realise that that art was something you were interested in?
Right from the start, I think, Taryn, I always liked drawing.
Good.
Yep.
I have a five-year-old and he likes, you know, two things in life, trucks and cars and art.
Oh, good on him.
Yeah, and creating art with a five-year-old, so freeing. It's so freeing because you forget all of those things that you've been taught you should do and you just get to do what you want to do and what brings you joy and happiness.
You mean watching him or
watching
art with him?
Both. Watching him reminds you that that is what the joy of art is, at least for me. So watching him and then making things with him.
Well, Picasso often implied that he envied small children's art.
Really? I didn't know that.
As free.
Yeah. How amazing to be taught by Tom Chrysler.
I agree.
Oh, to go back in time and have that opportunity. Like, that's incredible.
And you didn't realise you're being taught, which is even more impressive. Just, you know, he had a class there. He could have been 15, 20 people there. He never once stopped being attentive to the group. I mean, he didn't just talk for half an hour and then start painting himself or anything. He was asking, he was talking art, he was reading art in a mellifluous sort of voice because he had this Argentine accent. And probably a bit of German first language, Austrian first language accent. So he was marvellous to listen to, let alone the content of what he was doing. And he'd be looking around, he'd had a useful way of getting us to reconsider what we were doing. He'd say, stop now. He'd perhaps one person, you know, lift up what you're doing, and of course it'd be dripping if it was wet. So that probably helped as far as Tom was concerned. He'd say, stop now, and maybe for a few seconds, you could, and then it was effective in making you stop going too far and spoiling something or taking a different tack and so on. And never a crossword. He was so effective, it's hard to describe it. And as you were saying, this thing about the joy of painting and playing, pushing colours around, that's a good fun.
Yes.
And sometimes you're looking at something on a table, but 15 minutes later you probably hardly ever look at the table, you're looking at what's on your canvas.
That's amazing.
Well, I think that's just as a result of him being a good teacher. I think we're very, very lucky because, as I said earlier, the philosophy of the group has been sort of casual and experimental, and the last thing you want is to cramp up and try and be too accurate. We have experienced painters, particularly now, where since we're in New Plymouth, there's whole heaps of people coming now. Very experienced painters coming, and like anyone else, they usually, for the first week or two, like to, human nature, you just like to show what you can do. But within a month or two, they tend to sort of look at what's being brought along or look up the theme of an artist we might be looking at that week and adopt the same approach as us who have been in the group a long time.
That's nice.
That's beautiful to see because they're skillful, technically skillful, and we're seeing it. Gosh, that's something I hadn't thought about or those are materials I hadn't used.
Well, Tony, it has been lovely having a chat with you today. I've really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for coming into the studio. And to everybody listening out there, come along and see this exhibition. It's filled with such a variety of beautiful, thoughtful, and inspiring art. So come and enjoy it.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.